You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz al-Sahaba.
When he talks about the book that his dad wrote, and whenever you talk to Yusuf Al-Didat, he's always passionate about this topic, and he's someone that will, inshallah, relive the memories of Sheikh Ahmad Didat, Rahimullah, how he went into his different lectures, his different debates, his notes. And, you know, Yusuf has been still researching the past of his father. And recently he told me that, you know, when his father did the Dale Carnegie Carnegie course, he, quite a few of prominent brothers, local brothers, were with him. And Yusuf had found in the archives those brothers, the names of those brothers that were with the Sheikh Ahmad Didat, Rahimullah. Yusuf Ahmad Didat, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair for joining us on Markaz Sahaba.
Jazakallah khair, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me.
Yes, Yusuf, I hope you're well. And, you know, quickly looking into the history of your dad, Ahmad Didat was born in the Surat district of India in 1918. His father emigrated to South Africa shortly after the birth of Ahmad Didat. He went to South Africa in 1927 to be with his father, applying himself with diligence to his studies. Ahmad Didat not only was able to overcome the language barrier, but excelled in school, lack of finances. And that is history. Many people can go through that, look at the history of Sheikh Ahmad Didat, and they will get to know about that. But, you know, being the month of Rabiul Awal, Rafiq, I mean, Yusuf, we'd like to, you know, focus on dad's book, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest. And, you know, the ayat that I like, wa innaka ala khuluqin azim. You look at the, you know, dad writes that in the opening of the book, the Noble Quran 68:4. And he talks about, you know, about 10 years ago, he says, a distant cousin of mine, Mr. Muhammad Mehter, they called him Farouki, gave him a type quotation by a French historian. And, you know, your dad looked into that. Yeah. And eventually he said, and this is what he told me personally, that it's good if someone praises a prophet in the house of Islam, then it doesn't make such a big impression amongst the flock. But if someone from the opposition takes the time to praise Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that is a feather in our cap. Perhaps, Yusuf, take us through that history.
Alhamdulillah, I firstly must say that I was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a father like Sheikh Ahmad Didat Rahmatullah. And he was such an inspiration, not only to me, but to many. In fact, right at this moment, we have a young man by the name of Ahmed from Holland, 24 years of age. And he's here in South Africa just to do research on my late father. And the reason is that he says that the lectures of Sheikh Ahmad Didat has inspired him so much that he had to just come down, visit the grave of Sheikh Ahmad Didat, make dua, and thank Allah for having inspired by this man. And today, brother, our young children have to be inspired by the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are not getting inspired by that. And that is such a painful experience that we are experiencing, our whole community, our families, all of us. In fact, in the talking about that book, I will never forget what my father taught me. You know, he should always recite this and made me memorize it. And it is in Farsi, where it says, Balaghal ula bi kamalihi, kashafad duja bi jamalihi, hasunat jami'u khisalihi, sallu alayhi wa alihi. Balaghal ula bi kamalihi. He attained the height of eminence by his perfection. Kashafad duja bi jamalihi. He dispelled the darkness of the world by his grace. Hasunat jami'u khisalihi. Excellent were all his qualities. Sallu alayhi wa alihi. Pray for blessings on him and his descendants. Now, this, always I recite this. It inspires us. It should inspire us. But what inspired my father even more was a French historian by the name of Lamartine. He wrote, and these are the words about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the greatest. And he quotes, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and outstanding results are the three criteria of human greatness, who could dare to compare any great man in modern history with Muhammad? The most famous men created arms, laws, and empires. Only they founded, if anything at all, no more than material power, which often crumbled before their eyes. This man, Muhammad, moved not only armies, legislations, empires, people, and dynasties, but more than that, he moved that the mountains, he moved religions. On the basis of a book, every letter of which he has become law, he created a spiritual nationality which blended before. Now, this type of words that are used by this French historian, it moves you. He ends up by saying philosopher, orator, apostle, legislator, warrior, conqueror of ideas, a restorer of rational belief, a cult without images. He founded an empire worthy of 20 terrestrial empires. Now, this such powerful words. How many of us Muslims believe in these words? We are all suffering from an inferiority complex, my brother. And that is what is recorded in the books that my father wrote, Muhammad the Greatest. And everyone must get a copy. It's free from the Islamic Propagation Center. And it's a small booklet, and we should all inspire our kids to read it. And I tell you why. What Sheikh Didat is doing, in what he wrote in the book, was he relates an experience he had where people in Den Hauser, which is northern Natal, they called him. They said, Sheikh, we want you to come and give a talk on Muhammad the Greatest. So he said, Alhamdulillah, do the adverts, I will be there. So he made a beeline to Den Hauser. And he was shocked to see what title they had. They had Muhammad the Great, not Muhammad the Greatest. They just had Muhammad the Greatest. Then he went to Pretoria. The people of Pretoria invited him. And Alhamdulillah, I must say, the people of Pretoria supported my father immensely during the times of difficulty. So they invited him, and again he said, advertise the subject, Muhammad the Greatest, peace be upon him. And when he ended up in Pretoria, what did he see? The adverts read, Muhammad the Great, not the Greatest. Then he was invited at USA. And at USA, they told him, Sheikh, we want you to come and give a lecture here. What topic? So Sheikh did not change the topic. He said, okay, see, what the Bible says about Muhammad, Bible in big captions, and Muhammad in big captions as well. So Bible and Muhammad will stand out. What the Bible says about Muhammad. So they said, right, we please come. We'll send you a ticket. So they send a ticket. My father flew to the United States, to the Islamic Students Association. And to his disbelief and shock, the advert was, a prophet in the Bible. What? A prophet in the Bible could mean any prophet. How are you going to attract people? So the inferior complex that we still have, you know, we have to get that out of us. There is Islamophobia everywhere. And why? Because we are not proclaiming what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And you quoted the verse just now, Brother Shafat. وَإِنَّكَ عَلَى خُلُقِ الْعَظِيمِ. You said that, you started this talk by that verse. Who believes in it? That is the question I'm asking. Who is believing in it? Now, I want to relate to you something else, my brother. That I was going through my archives of my father, you know, when he passed away on the 8th of August, 2005. I packed everything in a box and I just brought it to Durban because I'd sold the house of late Sheikh Ahmad Didat in Gralam. And just a few weeks ago, I said, let me just have a look what I packed in the box. And there comes out a poster. A poster, a big poster with the heading, What Does Jesus Say About Muhammad, Peace Be Upon Him, by Ahmad Didat, at the Verlam Town Hall on Saturday, 15th November, 1958, at 8 p.m. All welcome. Without discrimination, the speaker will answer all questions on the subject. No collections. Brother, this was at the height of apartheid. Here is Ahmad Didat advertising and he's having intermingling of races. He says, without discrimination, all welcome. Now, who did this during the height of apartheid? So in 1958, he started this work. And this poster, I look at the poster. Then I dig into more of those documents, and I find another brochure done by the Arabic Study Circle. And it reads, First Annual Public Speaking Contest on Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, at the Kaji Memorial Hall in Belem, Sunday, 14 February 1954 at 2 p.m. at 2 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. I look at that, and I turn the pages, and I see, I said, Ya Rab, look at the names of people. And the first prize on a subject of Muhammad the Greatest was by Mr. Abdullah Katrada. I think he's from Fallon. And he spoke on the subject, the Prophet's life and mission. Brother Shafat, the most shocking thing to me was the second prize went to Mr. Asmal, Qadir Asmal. You know our former minister? Our minister, very articulate. Well, alhamdulillah, very articulate. And he chose the subject. The subject was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his battles. And the third prize was, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Muhammad Kareem. And he spoke Muhammad of opposition and persecution. Where did Didad fit in here? Poor Ahmad Didad, he got the eighth prize. Now there we go, Brother Qadir Asmal. Articulate, superbly articulate. He gave a lecture, excellent lecture that moved to ended up with second prize. I mean, these are people, if they continued with that inspiration, you know, they would have shaken this whole country. He would have inspired so many of the ministers to be Muslims. But we are weak, my brother. Do we really believe? Do we believe what in the Quranic verse that you said? And not long ago, Brother Shafat, there was an article that appeared in the Mercury newspaper, dated 24th May 2017. And the heading was, Islamic terrorism must be traced back to its source. Islamic terrorism must be traced back to its source. Who is the source of Islam? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I read this article and I got shocked. Really, I said, Ya Rab, this guy, what is this person writing in the article? He said, Muhammad took a 6-year-old child as a wife. Huh? Then he said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, open inverted commas, I have been made successful through terror. A'udhu billah. I'm waiting for, is there any Muslims going to take this up? No Muslims. I ran to the Muslim organization, the Ahl Sunni wal Jamaat, the Jamiat al Ulama. I went to them. I said, brother, this is serious, man. They're throwing mud on us. We should do something about it. And I don't want to mention names, Brother Shafat, because it's very hurtful. And we are not here to hurt our Muslim brothers either. But this is a message I want to give you, our Muslim brothers. Inferiority complex, get it out of your system. Because when I spoke to some of the leaders, some people are so articulate, you know. I told them, brother, let's do something about this. You know what they said? Jane do, chor do abhi, jane do, let it go. They will always say our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can't take the love out from our heart. Brother, what is happening is, that is not the attitude that we should take. Ye jane do, let it go. So what I did on my own, I looked up the law, I had a look, and I saw that this country, wallah, it is, yeah, at the moment, the justice system is so easily accessible to all of us. And it's free, man. It's free. There is a new act called the Equality Act. Promotion of Equality and Prevention under the Discrimination Act of 2000, where it says no person may publish, propagate, advocate, or communicate words based on one or more of the prohibition grounds against any person that could reasonably be construed to demonstrate a clear intention to, number one, be hurtful, number two, be harmful or to incite harm, number three, to promote or propagate hatred. Ya Rab, they are giving us, the government is saying, come, don't use violence. Don't come to court. Bring the people to court if you feel hurt. Bring them to court. And alhamdulillah, we are in court at the moment, Brother Shafat, in the Equality Court. We sued the newspapers. Not for money. No, not for money. We sued them to apologize And to this day, since 2017, we have had about 15 appearances in court already. They've got senior advocates, acting judges to act for them, the newspaper. They're rich. They're very rich. And this matter is carrying on. And inshallah, the judgment will be on the 29th of November, inshallah. It should be in our favor, inshallah. So I need you all to make dua. The country is open to us. If you insult an African with the K word, if you insult an Indian with the C word, if you insult the Jews regarding Holocaust, where they'll take you? They won't hit you. They'll take you, come, brother, come to the equality court and get a whipping of your life. But when they insult Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I ask you, your brother Shafat, and I'm asking the Muslim community, why are we silent? That is what's hurtful by brother Shafat. And this is the message we want to pass to everybody. Ya ayyuhal muddassiru, kum fa'anzir. Allah is telling us repeatedly, oh, you Muslims who are wrapped up in a mantle, arise and deliver the warning of Allah. And Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say from his lips, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِئُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ قُلْ, say, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِئُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, follow me and Allah will love you. How many of us, my brother, are following the examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us? And that is what's so hurtful. We are suffering from an inferiority complex. We are no more those Ashik Rasuls, when, you know, in the era of Didat's time and in the era of your grandfathers, of those who are listening, where they should wear the red fez. You know, the red fez, they should all wear, everyone from India should wear the red fez.
Turkish.
To such an extent, brother Shafat, we were called Mohammedans. If you can remember, yeah, these are Mohammedans. These are Mohammedans because they were not educated. We should be the true followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And brother Shafat, we are failing. Therefore, we are in this situation today of so much of pain, of so much Islamophobia on us, because we are dead on the right road. The Christians, the Jews, and all other races, they are alive on the wrong road. We are dead on the right road. We are dead wood, Sheikh Didat was saying. But wake up. It's never too late. Never, never too late. Let's inspire our children about the examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it will save so much of marriages from breaking down. If we follow the examples that is laid down in the Quran, even our divorce rate, none of us follow the examples Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. If we follow the example of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, we won't get divorces in a hurry. It'll never happen. Because marriage is by the blessings of Allah. An-nikahu min sunnati. Sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we follow the sunnah and make a nikah, you think Allah is happy for that sunnah to be broken? No, no. So how many of us, brother Shafal, how many of us, when we have a problem even in the marriages, do we go to the Quran and look up Surah Talaq, chapter divorce? Who's doing that? Nobody. You're going to the Molana and he's giving his own fatwa there. The khalas, mardo, send him an SMS 3 times and khalas. You can't, brother. Follow the Quran. Follow the examples. And if you follow the Quran of talaq, wallah, I promise you, the chances are of your marriage being born again, Yasha.
Yes, a top shelf exclusive with the Yusuf Ahmad Didat, the son of the legendary Sheikh Ahmad Didat, Da'i, that alhamdulillah is like once in a lifetime. You know, it's like a meteorite that comes, a meteor that just comes and goes. And alhamdulillah, I was privileged of being the editor of Sheikh Ahmad Didat's Al Burhan. And I remember the lines very clearly that I wrote. The candle is slowly flickering away. Whilst he's in your midst, embrace him and enjoy him. Well, Yusuf, before the break, I told you, you know, I read some of the papers that you sent to me on the court appearance, and where, you know, the prosecutor interjected and said to stop giving a sermon, and you very eloquently went on talking about the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to share that moment with the listeners, and also, you know, the ayat of the noble Quran, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, where, you know, and have we not raised high the esteem in which you are held, or thou are held, that on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And you know, in your father's book, they say they gave you some other meanings. Like they said, "Have we not exalted thy fame, and have we not raised thy name? Have we not given you high renown?" And these are not lines that we are thumb sucking from other books, but it's from the source itself. It's from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala giving us these lines and telling us, you know, how he exalted Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he raised him in rank, and you know, everyone knows him, enemies, foes, and you know, those that like him, they all know Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yusuf Ahmadi, that Bismillah.
Jazakallah khair, my brother Shafat. You know, talking about the case, I have, I'm not as eloquent as some of the speakers that we listen to during the Jummah khutbah. Wallah, some of our youngsters are so eloquent, you know, it inspires us, really it does. And we are blessed with be Muslims who are really eloquent. But josh nahi hai, there's no bone, man, there's no meat there, there's no meat. It's only in the members they are eloquent. After that, they go silent when they walk out. So I went to quite a few of our Muslim attorneys as well, and I told them, listen, you guys are eloquent, man. You know, you can present my case much more better than I am. I'm not educated. I'm a layman, or the ordinary guy like Ahmad Didat. In fact, not even part of Ahmad Didat, just that sawdust, just that, the dust of the comet that was passing. I'm nothing. And 100%. Muslim attorneys let us down, 100%. So what do I do? I need someone to present the case of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to tell this court, to tell the magistrate who's presiding over this matter. And remember, Brother Shafat, an equality court magistrate is not an ordinary magistrate. He goes through a special training to be an equality court magistrate. So he's not a magistrate that is just picked up, can you take the job? There are selected people to do this equality court cases. And this guy is a Christian. His name is Van Rooyen. So I said, now, there can be no better to get an expert on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and give a sermon, give a talk, because the court allows you and they won't stop you from listening your case. I said, let me get somebody eloquent. And I went around all over town, Durban, looking for people. And nobody turned up. Nobody wants to come to defend Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's honor. I said, don't defend Yusuf Didat or anybody else. Just defend the dignity of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they are saying in the article that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have been made successful through terror. Close inverted commas. These are his actual words. That shows, that's why we have to be terrorists. According to that, if that is true, then without doubt, every Muslim has to be a terrorist, which is not so. He came with love and peace, nothing to do with terror. So eventually, Brother Rafiq Hassan, I think you know him, he was with the Islamic Propagation Center. He has his own organization. And he came in there as an expert witness on the examples of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know, Brother Shafat, the issues of ISIS came out in the talk. Why? Because the Christian judge wanted to know, what is this ISIS? Tell me about it. You are an expert, tell me. What is Shia? What is the difference between Shia and Sunni? Tell me about it. And alhamdulillah, that transcript is available. Brother Rafiq Hassan did such a great job. And then it was my turn to give evidence. Forget the expert. That is the expert, and his evidence will be kept. And it will be considered after listening to my evidence. Why have I brought this newspaper to court? So, yes, I've sent you the transcript. It's about 7 pages. My evidence was about, half an hour, only half an hour. And I began to quote Quranic verses one after another, after another. And the other party, who was an advocate, a senior advocate, acting for the newspaper, he said, Your Worship, did I have to stop giving a sermon? We didn't come here to listen to a sermon. But it wasn't a sermon. I was telling how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why he came here. He came was to bring peace into the whole of mankind. He is the ultimate example. So how could they say that he is a terrorist? How could they insult him that he took a 6-year-old child as a wife? How could they insult all these things? So, but alhamdulillah, so far, I did a great job. And I also told them in my address that, listen, when you use the word about ISIS, when the judge asked about the word ISIS, what is this ISIS? I turned around and told them, Your Worship, ISIS is Christianity. Because when I look at the Bible and I look at Luke chapter 19, verse 27 of the Bible, it is alleged, this is what Jesus said, but those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Cut their necks off. Those who don't accept Christianity, cut their necks off. This is in Luke chapter 19, verse 27. And I could see the judge. He said, okay, Mr. Didat. Okay, Mr. Didat. Move on. Because it hurts. You see, when you use their own words against them. ISIS, there is no such thing as ISIS in Islam. It never was. Because he came with peace. He came with forgiveness. Where the hell does this thing come about? So we made an excellent point in court, my brother. And this is because of the inspiration I got from my father, late Ahmad Didat. Where he should always, you know, he taught me another poem. In fact, when I was walking this morning at 4 in the morning on the beach on the promenade in Durban, and I was reciting this verse, and I saw a white lady with a dog walking, and I stopped her. I said, excuse me, lady, can I speak to you for a minute? And she said, yes. I said, you've got a beautiful dog, and I want to just relate to you a poem that my father has taught me about a dog. And it went like this. Fidelity is said to be a human attribute, which makes a modern gentleman distinguished from the brute. But that supreme fidelity, inborn in every hound, which is a mark of man's best friend in man, is rarely found. You know what? She said, please, let me write it down. I said, this is what, but let's look at the fidelity of Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what this book, Muhammad the Greatest, my father writes, that it is said, it is a boundless favor. This is this is about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He never forgot his good Khadija long afterwards. Aisha, his young favorite wife, a woman who indeed distinguished herself among Muslims by all manners of qualities through her whole long life. This young, brilliant Aisha was one day questioning him, now, am I not better than Khadija? She was a widow, old, and had lost her looks. You love me better than you did her? And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered, no, by Allah, answered Muhammad. No, by Allah, she believed in me when none else would believe in the whole world. I had but one friend, and she was that. Look at that. Look at the example of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm talking about some of us. When you have a second wife, what do you say? Yeah, the first one is giving hell, man. Jane do, this one is better. Baba, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never said those words. He was the Al-Amin, the faithful one. And that is the examples we should follow. And we are not following this. These are non-Muslims are defining the great quality of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my brother Shafat. And we are failing in that. We have a gem, man. We have a gem. We have a Kohinoor diamond, the best example. And we are sleeping on it. The word is Jane Do. My brother, I also told the judge, 5 times a day is a proclamation that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the greatest. 5 times a day we hear this. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah. Why are we saying that? So we don't make a mistake like what the Christians have done. They made their prophets into gods. Jesus is a god. Allah is reminding us 5 times a day that brothers, don't make this mistake. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasul. He is the messenger of Allah. If you love him and you accept him as a messenger of Allah, then hayya ala salah. Come to Salah. If you don't, there's no need for you to come to Salah. And in Salah, there's success. Hayya alal falah. And even if you don't come for Salah or success, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is still the greatest. Allah is still the greatest. La ilaha illallah. There's no other object of worship but Allah. You're not going to belittle anybody if you don't go for Salah. I too was weak, my brother. I want to admit, at times in Azan should go, I say, Kaini, I'll do it just now. But it's no more. This whole episode of mine, we have been inspired even more by reading that no, I was at fault, Ya Rab. Forgive me for the fault. How many salah I missed. Forgive me, Ya Rab. Every time, you know, our brother Shafad attended a maulud once. This guy was giving such a beautiful speech. And the azan, the Zuhr Salah azan went. And I'm thinking, and there was quite a few of our Jamaat brothers, they got up from the talk. And they left for namaz. They didn't waste time. And me too. Now, since I've inspired, I too. But before I could get up, the same great eloquent speaker is saying, we can make our jamaat just now. Don't worry. Don't worry. We don't need to go for salah now. We can do it later. That's not what the azan was for, brother. And you see the weakness. We got our flock of sheep. We don't break up the flock of sheep. So don't go for Salah now. We'll do our own Jamaat here. No, this is a masjid next door. Come on, let's go for Salah and come back. So this is the weakness, you know, of Muslims, of all of us. We are all weak, including myself. I'm not perfect. But we try to be as perfect as possible. But Brother Shafaat, if we follow the example of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we follow the Quran, as you said, the chances of us being imperfect is very rare. It inspires us. And talking about our old people, our Dale Carnegie cause you spoke about, I found a list of top businessmen dated January 18, 1956. Ya Rab, these are the top who's who in the Hindu community and in the Muslim community who joined the Dale Carnegie cause and on how, by Tony Stem, how to win friends and influence people. How many of us are joining these classes today? How many of us businessmen are sending the children for these classes today? Dale Carnegie, how to talk, how to win friends and influence people. How many of us are doing this? Huh? We are not doing this. Come on, my brothers. It's time to wake up. This is what Allah is saying. Ya ayyuhal muddassiru, kum fa'anzir. Oh, you are one of us Muslims who are wrapped up in a mantle. Arise and deliver the warning. And let's be eloquent in our presentation. Let it be humble in our presentation. And you see, Allah promises, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزَهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent His messenger with guidance and with the religion of truth that will master and supersede every other religion. My God, we got the ultimate atom bomb in our hand. And that is the example of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we are sleeping on it, Brother Shafaat. And inshallah, let's hope somebody gets inspired just to get up and talk something about the examples of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you're sitting on an aeroplane, I should travel with my father, and everybody had a knock at us. When this is my father, she used to sit, and the public said, "Are you a Muslim?" I said, "Yes." "How many wives you got?" That's the first question they should ask. And my father should say, "My brother, how many wives you got?" Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. You know, if the first one had a turn with Solomon, she'll have to wait over a year to get a turn back. So what are you talking about, four wives, man? So, you know, it was such inspiration to travel all over the world, my father, and the examples that he led. He was an example of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He tried his best to try to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He tried as much as possible. And I witnessed the way he presented himself. And Allah says, if you do that, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, Allah's nur will come unto you. But what are we doing? Look at the examples around us. Look at what's happening right now in Saudi Arabia, everywhere. And you know, I sit and cry, but open the Quran. Open the Quran for whatever problem you have, open the Quran. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have given us the example. And he said, فَلَمَّا سُوْمَا ذُكِّرُ بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْكٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَحْتَةً فَإِذَا مُبْلِسُونَ وَكُتِيَ دَابِرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What it means? فَلَمَّا أَسُومَا ذُكِّرُ بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. When you have disregarded the warning that Allah has given you, He opens up doors of plenty for you. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. And in the midst of your enjoyment, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَحْتَةً, He calls you to account. فَإِذَا مُبْلِسُونَ, and He puts you into utter despair. وَكُدْيَ دَابِرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, and the wrongdoers are cut out of the last remnants. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And the angels will go to Allah and tell Him, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We destroyed this Muslim guy. We destroyed his whole family. His whole empire toppled. Look around you. So these people who are doing mischief on earth, hold on, wait, cry to Allah. But look at the Quran and sit and watch. Watch what happens. Allah promises you destruction for those who have disregarded the warning. And all those people who refuse to defend Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all those people, I cry for them. Ask them, Ya Rab, forgive these people. Because if they cannot defend the dignity of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is their worth? What is their wealth worth? What are the children worth to them? The children became the pain, will become the pain in their lives. They don't realize that. So therefore, my brother, please, I hope somebody gets inspired. Stand up and deliver the warning. Get the book, Muhammad the Greatest, and give it for Christmas. Give it out for Christmas. It's available at IPC. Buy it from them. Buy it. And give it out for Christmas. Make it a gift wrap and give it to our Christian friends. Here, brother, here. You don't know how that one word, the praise on Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is done by many scholars. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, what he said about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Lama Teen, what they said. Great people have said. Non-Muslims are praising Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So don't brag about ourselves that we are great and we have done this. Give them the book and you will read in the book. My brother, a Hindu scholar, he said Muhammad was the soul of kindness and his influence was felt and never forgotten by all those around him. Then George Bernard Shaw, he also said, I have studied him, the wonderful man, and in my opinion, far from being an antichrist, he must be called the savior of humanity. Yeah, Encyclopedia Britannica, what they say? The 11th edition, Muhammad was the most successful of all religious personalities. Come on, my brother. How many of us that give this book out? Give it to the non-Muslims. You don't praise him. The non-Muslims are praising. We have failed to be the true Ashiqi Rasuls. We have failed, my brother Shafat. And that is what's painful to me, my brother.
I tell you, Yusuf, mashallah, you know, listening to you, because a lot of truth coming through from your lips, and wa atiullah wa atiul rasul, obey Allah and obey His Messenger over 19 times in the Noble Quran. And this is it, you know, and Father took it to another level with that booklet. Indeed, the barakah flows. And as you say, give it to people as a gift. Another thing that I noticed just recently, that the Jummah Masjid Trust had purchased the Madrasa Arcade. And first thing that went through my mind, you know, I thought of those tenants, what will happen, because it's going to be upgraded and perhaps, a tourist will be coming through. But there is an office in that Madrasa Arcade that belonged to, you know, that served the Muslim Ummah in the form of Sheikh Ahmad Didat and Mr. G.H. Ivanka. That officer, Yusuf, I think should be preserved as a heritage site. In the memory of Sheikh Ahmad Didat Rahimullah. What's your thoughts on that, on the sale of the Madrasa Arcade?
Alhamdulillah, end of the day, my brother Shafan, I want you to understand, alhamdulillah, our Muslims have done well. They have done very well. And our Muslims have purchased it. We must be happy, ecstatic, that it is born by a Muslim. What if some non-Muslims bought it? So there is something. Even the rentals will go to the Jummah Masjid. So if they rent it out, it'll go to the Jummah Masjid. So it'll uplift the Muslim community to a higher degree. Then if a non-Muslim brought it, it wouldn't have gone there. So therefore, regarding the 47-48 Madrasa Arcade was the founding office of Sheikh Ahmad Didat, G.H. Ivanka, and Mr. Khan. These were the three musketeers who did the work initially. So, alhamdulillah, one was Lauren and Hardy. Somebody said that Didat was a tall guy, Mr. Ivanka, short. They should always go for collection from town to town. Lauren and Hardy is out here coming for collection. Alhamdulillah, it was what they did was truly inspiration. But forget preserving 47 and 48 Madrasa Arcade. Forget it. Let's preserve the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is what we should do.
Subhanallah.
Forget our name. They said, Naam nahi to kuch bhi nahi. Yeah, that is in business, but not in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ya Sheikh. You must promote him. That's it. So forget all the preservations. I said, carry on. Get the rentals. Rent it out. Get the best rentals. But uplift the Muslim Ummah with that money. So that's fine. I don't have a problem. Whatever they do, make shukr. When I see a brother with a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, I say, mashallah, mashallah. We should be happy. Why? Because Allah says, we are the best of people evolved for mankind. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ We are the best. So we drive the best cars. We should drive the best cars. We should wear Giorgio Armani suits. We are the best of people. But it shouldn't give us a pride. When we wear the Jojamani suits, we say, Alhamdulillah, I'm a representative of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm eloquent. I'm dressed up. I want to show power that we Muslims are powerful people. I'm happy. The Lamborghini and the Ferrari, the brand, I'm thrilled about it. I'm very happy. When I look at them, I say, Ya Rab, give me one as well, Ya Rab. So come on, do that. You get an opportunity to ask for one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ask for a small beetle or a bicycle. Ask for a Lamborghini. Ask to live in Namshanga Rock. Ask to live in the biggest stage. Ask Allah whether you'll get it or not. But you have a right to ask. How many of us are asking? But even greater still is to, Ya Rab, make me an ambassador of Islam. Maybe close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Maybe an Ashik Rasul, Ya Rab. And let me not miss my Salah. How many of us ask for that? Nobody. So this is it. So let's get back to the roots, man. Let's get back. That's why when I look at the examples of my father, I look at all these things that he has done, and I go through all the papers, and I see how many Muslim businessmen, really influential businessmen of our time, have taken the effort to be articulate and to be able to represent the case and the businesses in an eloquent and a presentable manner. That is what we have to do. Look at Arabic Studies Circle in those days. They had the speech contest on Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest. Which schools are doing that today? We should be advertising in the paper. This school is giving a talk. Students are coming, giving a talk on Muhammad the greatest. Come on, inspire our youngsters, man, and get the best talk. The guy who gives the best talk on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give him a polo as a gift. We can do that. We are rich people. Our community is rich. Inspire our youngsters, man. Inspire them. So inshallah, let's hope that it works, my brother. It works, and it will. Because as you said, the fire, the spark has started. It's going to become a flame. Not long, but let's not kill the spark. So that is the message, Brother Shafat. And alhamdulillah, I'm doing my little bit on my own. And let's all of us do a little bit. You don't need, Shafat Bhai, what you are doing on your own. Alhamdulillah, you don't need to create an organization to do what you are doing. No. Let the IPC be what it is, and let them carry on being. Let the other organizations, Rafiq Hassan's, carry on, let it be. You don't. You just carry on and do something on your own, man. Speak something about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Educate yourself. And so simply it can be done just by reading the booklet, small booklet of Ahmad Didat, Muhammad the Greatest. And watch. It will take you to the Quran. The book will take you to the Quran. And that is all we need. We have to go back to the Quran. And that is our guide and our light for our deen today, ya brother.
I tell you, Yusuf, you know, you rekindle a memory in me, you know, being with IPCI. And also every Wednesday I used to go to the local harbor here in Durban. And, you know, give out literature from the IPCI, and eventually started giving out Qurans to the ships. And, you know, at that time, the captains were the active carriers to the four corners of the globe. And I tell you, Yusuf, I can't, I mean, since, in, you know, 1989 to present, we must have given over thousands and thousands of Qurans. But, you know, we do get these captains coming back and reminding me. So, Shafat, you remember a certain year you came, some we left in this part of the world, some the Comores, and things like that. And they also remember that once I took Sheikh Ahmad Didat, Rahimullah, on board the ship. And then there was another ship that came in, I think it was in the late 80s or towards the mid-80s. The ship's name was Al Raqib, and the I think the captain's name was Kaiser Nasser. And your whole family came on board. I remember that. I still have of the memories with me. And, you know, I remember that these captains, they were very receptive. They used to love coming and visiting the propagation center, looking for your father, Yusuf.
Yeah, now, Brother Shafat, now, talking about visiting the ships, you had somebody who supported you 100%, and that was the late Ibrahim Bawa, if you can recall that. Ibrahim Bawa was one of your greatest supporters. And why did he support you? Because when I spoke to him one day, he told me, you know, Brother Yusuf, Brother Shafat has seen something that we all have missed out. I said, what is that, Ibrahim Bai? He said, he saw the loneliness of a seaman. And then he told me that there are two people in this world who get very lonely. And that is a guy sitting in prison in the cells and a guy he's out to sea. When he's 7 days, 8 days in the sea, he needs to stimulate his mind And Brother Shafat has opened that avenue where he's giving Qurans out to the non-Muslims who are even reading the Quran in the sea. And there's Quranic verses about the sea. Allah is describing the times of the sea when it gets high, and it erupts, and how people think of Allah at that time. And then they forget him when the seas are back calm. All that is related in the Quran. So you can see, Brother Shafar, what you did during that time. It stopped. It stopped after Shafar went on to the radio station. Who is doing the job? But it stopped. So therefore, we have to inspire people, Brother Shafar. You have to talk more about this. And our youngsters should get involved in going onto the ships and giving out booklets. The Christians are doing it. You remember, Brother Shafar, the ship known as Dolas. There was a ship known as Dolas that should come. And alhamdulillah, you did an excellent job by counterattacking, by giving out booklets about Islam on those ships. So I don't know if you can remember that, Brother Shafar.
Yeah, I recall that very vividly. When they saw me coming towards the Dolas, they actually lifted the gangway up. You know, they think, this guy shouldn't come on board.
Because you became a threat. And what you came? You didn't come to Tehran. You came to give up booklets that day. You want to give you a Quran. You're a threat when you're doing something good. But Brother Shafat, the success of your what you did has to be given to your wife. Because 90% of people who are not da'is, who are eloquent, who can really shake up the world, they got problems at home. You know, their wives give them hell. You don't need to look for Arafat or Saddam anywhere else. You go home and you'll find them there. So that poor guy, when he reaches home, he's seeing Saddam and Arafat there giving hell. What are you going to do? So Kenny Java there, Dawan would come Java there. So that's why the success of Ahmad Didat was based on his wife, who supported him wholeheartedly. The success of Brother Shafat for doing is based on your wife, Sabia. Had she complained and said, you're running on the ships every time, what the hell are you doing on the ships? You would have given up the ghost long time ago. But everyone loses that out. We all forget that is the woman behind the man that creates him to be what he is. And therefore, we have to give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us having these types of wives who can help us in the deen. And therefore, Sheikh Didat was blessed, Brother Shafat. And we all are blessed. And we pray that whoever finds a partner is also blessed in the same manner. We have to inspire our wives. And listen, our whole mission is to be ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, business will do. Yes, we have to travel overseas for business. But even in our travels, we always present ourselves as Muslims that are upright and straight, who don't imbibe in alcohol, who don't go gambling. We don't order alcohol on the plane because nobody is there, nobody to see us. The Kenya will have a salt soup. We don't do that, brother. And some of our Muslims are doing it. Even the Arabs, many of the Arabs do that. As soon as they get on the plane, they take off the Arab garb. They are westernized now. That's not right. We have to come back, be Muslims in action, my brother. And we are failing in that. And you have done a great job. Even in the radio station, you're inspiring a lot of people. And that is needed. But who is after Shafat? Train the youngsters up to join, have classes. Train them up to say, come on, brothers, join us. Be a radio presenter. Come on. Send them for Dale Carnegie course, how to win friends and influence people, how to talk, how to be a public speaker. If you open the channels, the Christian channels, Ya Rab, these guys are so eloquent with nonsense. It's unbelievable. You know, they keep you stunned. And one of the guys that kept me stunned, a Christian guy, was Jimmy Swaggart, my brother. This guy, as a youngster, I should watch his programs. Ya Rab, he was so eloquent. Oh, and in his debate, you must get the debate. Our listeners must get the debate between Didat and Jimmy Swaggart, 1986. And this guy was so eloquent that he insulted Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in such a manner. And he said in his talk, a dead man cannot produce miracles. Jesus Christ is alive. Huh? He said it in such a way. So convincing. A dead man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is dead. Jesus is alive. He's coming back. But what did my father, what did he answer? Huh? He said, you have these powers of miracle working. Jesus gave life. Muhammad couldn't. My brothers, you don't need the scriptures. The Bible says, there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets who will show you great signs and wonders, if it were possible to deceive the very elect. There's it. So once you know the background of people, read, brothers, read the Quran. And the Quran will tell you, look at the Bible, where they're saying that we're going to go to hell. وَلَنْ تَرْضَىٰ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَىٰ حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُ. Allah is saying that they are saying, وَلَنْ تَرْضَىٰ, your Muslims will never enter Jannah. Never. وَلَنْ تَرْضَىٰ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَىٰ, unless you become a Jew or you're a Christian. حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُ. You will never become you go to Jannah. That's what they are saying. Allah is saying, this is what they are saying. So what do? You tell them, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Show me your proof that allows you to go to Jannah and allows me to go to Jahannam. Show me your proof where you got it. And that is
Kul hatu burhanukum in kuntum sadiqin. Yusuf, you're on the roll. Allahu Akbar. I noticed that we are a bit over time here, but beautiful indeed. Allah had blessed you. You really, came and have put a lot of nur onto the airwaves of Marcus Sahaba. I really appreciate you, Yusuf, did that. Do the good work, and inshallah, the day when you meet your Creator, you'll be pleased with him. He'll be pleased with
Inshallah.
You. And you can
Inshallah.
See the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I let you go, your parting word, Yusuf?
Ya Rab, read Didat's books and go to the Quran. Read the Quran and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring nur into our families, into our lives, and in our character. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair, Yusuf Ahmed Didat. We'll talk to you in the near future. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, so that was Yusuf Ahmadi, that people. I can tell you, even Boniface has just put a lovely message in front of me. It says, powerful message indeed, and he feels inspired, I hope inspired, all of us this morning. Gone into the afternoon now, people. Keep it locked on to Marco Sahaba for beautiful programming from the team and I. Till we meet you again, we bid you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.